strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing. We're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we're talking with Brandon Calloway. He's the CEO and co-founder of Generating Income for Tomorrow. You know, Gift. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
We'll get into your business.
In today's marketing tip, make sure your company is telling a story that's worth retelling. There are a lot of digital technologies out there that will help tell a great story for you, like the people who leave reviews on Google or on social media sites or on Yelp. And algorithms for popular sites like those will boost you up or down in the ratings as a result of what they're saying. Now, even if you're paying to advertise on Google in a paid search environment, your ratings still come into play as a weighting factor because Google wants to make sure that they're giving a potential customer the best information. And that's even when you're paying for placement. Your reviews matter. Now, then we bring AI into the picture, and AI starts to read about your website story, and the review sites give people a narrative about your company, and AI factors that in. So much technology out there trying to tell a story about you, and that's good or bad. But no matter how good those technologies are at making recommendations, you will still turn to family and friends for recommendations and advice. So we have to make sure that the product or service or the experience that you're creating for your customers is worthy of great storytelling by them. You want them to tell your story. So focus on the experience you provide, and that is going to have a downstream impact on what the technologies are telling people about you. But more importantly, it gives the people surrounding your next customer a reason to sing your praises and tell your story. Make that worthwhile. And that is our marketing tip for this week.
We'll get into your business.
All right, we're here in our featured interview section. I am here with Brandon Calloway. Brandon is the CEO and co-founder of Generating Income for Tomorrow. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you here. So GIFT is what that shortens down to, Generating Income for Tomorrow. Why don't you give us a sense of what GIFT is, if this is the first time people are hearing about it. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. We are a nonprofit organization, 501c3 public charity. We raise money, obviously, and we provide grants as well as all types of technical support to Black-owned businesses on the east side of Kansas City, specifically to help them grow, scale, and create jobs so that those jobs have an economic impact on the east side, reducing Kansas City's racial wealth gap, right? Kansas City is one of 21 hyper-segregated cities, and that was the result of redlining, just long-standing systemic racist practices. And so we take the approach of that we need to be aggressive and intentional about putting money back into the community because years ago, decades ago, they were aggressive and intentional about draining money from the community.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And decades ago is like, that's not very far away. That was decades ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's see if we can't be intentional about that.
Right.
Tell me about some of the impact from GIFT, because you have helped a number of Black-owned businesses with grants so far. Tell us a little bit about that. Like maybe even name names, like give us a sense of who we're talking about and what you've been able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a relatively young organization, right? So we were founded in May 5th of 2020. And so we're coming up on five years old.
Yeah.
And so in that time frame, we have given out $1.8 million to around 75 different Black-owned businesses on the east side of Kansas City. We have spent another about $1.5 million on the technical assistance that goes along with those grants. And those businesses have seen growth of around an average growth of 209% average revenue growth, but they've also mm-hmm. created 135 new jobs on the east side of Kansas City.
Outstanding.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that half of our program, you know, we have a business center, which is another really big part of our program. And so the idea there being that we can't give it grants out to everybody, but the technical assistance is so valuable.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have a 7,500 square foot business center on 50th and Prospect, mm-hmm. That provides free legal, accounting, marketing, business coaching in a one-on-one setting completely mm-hmm. for free. And that's been around for 2 years. And so we've had 1,510 different individuals come through that business center, mm-hmm. Made up around 4,800 appointments at the business center. So we get a lot of traffic. And then those businesses have grown, increased their revenue. And so we have, you know, one business is a therapy business. Mm. So she's an individual, or she was an individual therapist. And she came in and was going through a lot of the business coaching. And by taking what she learned through business coaching and implementing that plan, she grew her revenue from $1,500 a month to $10,000 a month. And that's solely without a grant from us. That's just the education
part. Yeah.
Right. The education portion that she got completely for free at the business center. And I think she had somewhere between four or five different business coaching appointments. Mm-hmm. And so it was completely open and accessible for anybody to come in. And then with our grant program, you know, we a great example of what we are trying to do and you know, what we are around for is a business called Hall Pros. So Hall Pros, they got a $25,000 grant from Gift back in January of 2021. And it was, you know, it was a really, really good business. You know, they trucking and moving company. They had magnificent word of mouth. And so they were getting calls and calls and calls, but they only had one truck.
Oh, yeah. There's a limitation. There.
Exactly.
That's right. There's a constraint.
Exactly. So they were turning away a whole bunch of business.
Oh, yeah.
And even though they had good business, they also didn't have good back office systems and structures in place, right? Mm-hmm. So he was cash apping all his employees because, you know, he had a bunch of jobs and he had, you know, people that he needed to help him do these jobs, but he didn't understand how to do a payroll system. Mm-hmm. And so we gave him $25,000 to buy another truck, hire a couple more employees so he can start immediately taking those jobs that he was turning away. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we do is when we give them a grant, we give them a year's worth of business coaching. Mm-hmm. So we pay somebody on our staff to actually be a business coach for them for a year. We pay our bookkeeper to do their books for a year.
Oh, nice.
We provide them with a lawyer. We also give them a small business marketing package. And so we were able to help him get a payroll set up, mm-hmm. Get an accounting system set up. And he grew from having $8,000 in revenue per quarter to $101,000 in revenue per quarter. Mm-hmm. And that was within 12 months. And so now he's up to over $500,000 a year in revenue. He's hired 18 new full-time employees. And he's actually started doing free moves for residents of the new house domestic violence shelter. Mm-hmm. And so not only he's been able to access other microloan mm-hmm. Money now. So where he wasn't able to get that access to capital mm-hmm. prior to us, we actually helped him grow, scale, provide the infrastructure so that he is able to get that and having even a bigger impact. I know he's done some moves for mm-hmm. some of the constituents of KC Tenants. Just being able to see how just the investment in this business grows, scales, creates those jobs on the east side that, you know, we were trying to create so we can directly facilitate a close of the racial wealth gap while also having all of these other positive ripple effects throughout the city.
Yeah. Everything you've said sounds to me like it's working.
Yeah.
Like that's spectacular. It's not just the you know, the right infusion of cash when you need it. Mm-hmm. It's the coaching. It's being able to give them the baseline, that foundation that will serve them forever. That sounds outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when it comes to the access to capital, you know, mm-hmm. just in black businesses in general, we're often over-mentored and undercapitalized. Mm-hmm. And so the mentorship is great. The mentorship is important. But when we launched Gift, we launched with, we need to lead with money. Mm-hmm. We can't teach people how to manage fictional money.
Fictional money, right? that doesn't do any good.
No, it does not. No, it does not. Right. And so by providing them with the resources to actually launch their plan. So not mm-hmm. launch their business. The business is already up and going, but they have a revenue generating plan, just like Hall Pros did. Well, if mm-hmm. we just had this other truck, we could do this, 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 and it would lead to increased revenue. So help them launch in a plan like that while also providing them all of the support necessary. Those two mm-hmm. things together, like, we know that we can't just provide the money without the support, but too often people try to provide just the support without the money. Mm-hmm. And so those two things together are really the things that move the needle. And our business center is an example of how we can provide support without the grant funding mm-hmm. to help businesses grow. But our business center success stories aren't at the same scale of our grant recipient yeah. success stories. And, you know, we have a strong model of when we raise more money, we do mm-hmm. more good, right? We give out more grants. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we really, really excited about the program. We always tweaking and fine tuning mm-hmm. the program to ways that continue to provide most benefit.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, though, you know, if you're a business and you don't, if the grant isn't right for you this year, or if, you know, it's just not available yet for you, the business center is still a great resource to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a ton of resources at the business center.
Okay. So yeah, don't wait. Get there. Be in contact with them immediately. Tell me a little bit about your fundraising model, because I've seen some communications from you to people asking for mm-hmm. you know, some cash. At the same time, you know, on the website, you're getting good corporate sponsorship. You're getting partners from all different aspects of business, but those individual donations, mm-hmm. I'm noticing that you're asking for, you know, just $10 a month.
Yeah.
If you can commit to that, that $10 amount and having that strategy of asking for smaller amounts on an ongoing basis from donors, seems very, very intentional. Talk a little bit about that strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we launched with no credibility. Right.
Well, yeah, very much so. You didn't have a grant from Gift to be able to work with.
No,
you had to build your own.
Right. And in fact, I mean, we had a grant from no one. We launched mm-hmm. with no corporate support, no foundation support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story behind the creation and launch of Gift is that me and my two co-founders were in this Facebook group, BOBKC, specifically talking about supporting Black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And one of my co-founders made a post in the group saying, man, there's 15,000 of us right here in this group. You know, I'm tired of hearing about, you know, all of the stuff that we don't have. If everybody mm-hmm. puts in $10 a month, we can take that money and grow Black businesses ourselves. And so that was kind of the birth of the initial idea of Gift, right? Mm-hmm. And so we took that, the three of us came together, you know, developed the plan, and then, you know, developed the program and really led with the message of, you know, we don't have to be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, you know, donate $50,000 in order to actually contribute to meaningful impact, right? Mm-hmm. If everybody puts in $10 a month, if everybody, you know, joins in, and we can have collective community mm-hmm. impact. And it also, you know, it's true that if we did not get that collective community impact, we wouldn't be sitting here talking.
No,
that,
no,
right?
We wouldn't. We yeah. would be talking. We might be. We'd be talking about something different.
Completely
we'd be
different.
Talking about something
completely
else.
Completely different. But the individuals that signed up and to donate $10 a month is what, that's what started mm-hmm. Gift. Mm-hmm. That's what got us to be able to grow, to give out that $1.8 million to help those businesses create those 135 jobs. And we know that because the racial wealth gap is in Kansas City is vast, we need to continue to grow to take a bigger chunk out of that. And so we are not at 15,000 people donating $10 a month yet. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to get to that so that we are able to actually have that impact at scale. Mm-hmm. And while we do have corporate support now, we do have foundation support now, the individuals are the thing that drives us the most and allows us to do what we do. They fuel our work.
Yeah, that's the backbone. That's the foundation. And you know, getting if I've put in $10 a month, the return on that seems to be very apparent. Like that, it's easy to see that your you know gift is having a real impact and making something you know memorable happen. So it's a great way to start with that community involvement. So. Bang up job. Well done. Well done. We love it. We love to see that kind of thing in our community. And speaking of our community, you have given several grants to people that we've had on the podcast.
Like, oh yeah.
I've talked to many people so far. Mm-hmm. And each one of them on our podcast had to go through the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round?
I'm absolutely ready for the lightning
round. See, there's no fear. No fear at all.
Yeah.
They've had to answer these questions. We switch them up all the time, but, let me go into the lightning round. You have no way to know what kind of thing we may ask. Okay. It's all designed to figure out who you are and get a different perspective on you. So, I am personally a big fan of lifelong learning. Mm-hmm. You started an executive MBA program this summer. Tell us about that decision to start an executive MBA program and what it's done for you so far.
So is this lightning round?
This is lightning round. Yeah.
Is
you
can one word answer.
No, you can. It's shorter.
I don't know how to do that in one word.
There is no way to do that in one word. It's been good.
Yeah. It has been good.
Good.
So when we create a gift, we, again, me and my co-founder was really just two of us. We were volunteers. Mm-hmm. We've grown, you know, we've raised around $7 million, in this first 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've put a whole bunch of money out into the community. We've grown our staff to 9 full-time employees. And so we grew from 2 volunteers to 9 wow. full-time yeah. employees yeah. within 5 years, actually within 4 years. And so I've always been really aware that the type of leader that it takes to run a 2-man volunteer organization will not be the type of leader that it took to run a 3-person you know, full-time staff and 5-person full-time staff and 9-person.
Yeah. Evolution staff. Needs right. to happen. Yeah.
Right. And so I've always been really intentional about my own personal professional development mm-hmm. so that the organization does not outgrow me because I still need to be there to help shape the future of the organization. And so the EMBA, is actually providing a lot of really quality leadership development mm-hmm. For me. And as we continue to grow and fine tune our programs, it's also helping me see things from a different perspective in how we can continue to provide benefits, specifically at our business center mm-hmm. to the businesses that come in looking for that business support. And so while I'm not on the ground anymore directly providing coaching to the businesses, mm-hmm. I am still able to, you know, I'm learning a lot of stuff in this EMBA program that I'm actually able to take back to my program team so that we can increase the quality of our curriculum as well.
Man, outstanding. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. Let's see, as you think back in your past, did you have a mentor or a teacher who taught you a lesson that sticks with you to this day that you keep coming back to this advice, you know, over and over again?
A mentor or a teacher that taught me a lesson that sticks with me. I would say, you know, so my degree is exercise physiology. Hmm. And you know, I graduated from Avila University.
And we should pause for a shout out for Avila University right there. There you go.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so Dr. Larson mm-hmm. is actually the head of the kinesiology program over at Avila. And you know, one of the things Dr. Larson taught me a lot mm-hmm. of stuff. And when I'm running into challenges, he's actually one of the main people that I can reach out to and I can call and just sit down with and get some advice and feedback from him. But Dr. Larson, in the kinesiology field, I mean, mm-hmm. we're really dealing with the scientific method, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking. And so one of the things that he drilled into me was that if you're not testing, then you're guessing, right?
That's good advice. That is solid advice right there. Yeah.
Right. And so that really is pertaining to, you know, personal training and actually clinical exercise of, well, if I got pain here, you know, really testing and seeing what the root cause of that pain is, because I'm not testing that and I'm just trying to fix it, then I'm making a guess, and then I'm actually guessing at what's going to work, and I might be making that worse. And so when it comes to, you know, program development, when it comes to the, you know, our fundraising metrics, when it comes to how I operate a business or an organization, you know, I've said to my staff a couple of times, if we're not testing, then we're guessing.
Yeah.
And that is it's a prevalent thing throughout my life that causes me to stop and think really critically and analytically.
Gotcha. No, that is solid advice that you would get, and very applicable across the board. If we pop back into Gift for a second, what part of the business do you wish you knew more about?
You mean currently?
Yeah.
What part of the business do I wish I knew more about? So I think every founder probably wishes if not, then, you know, shout out to them because they got a great handle on it. Marketing and customer acquisition.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Mainly because, you know, so our customer acquisition is donor acquisition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we're not getting new donors, then we're not having any impact on anybody at all. And so we have been invited to, so people in Miami have said, people in like the Miami-Dade County government have said, oh, well, we would love for Gift to come down to Miami. And same thing in Maryland and in D.C. and in St. Louis. And we're prepared. We are planning on expanding, but we got to make sure Kansas City is good and stable first.
Yeah.
And continuing to grow and gain new donors. Like I said, we're not at that 15,000 donors, 15,000 people donating $10 a month. And that's a critical point for us. And so I am always looking and actively seeking to understand that part better.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to people, they would probably tell you I'm a pretty decent fundraiser. Or they might think I'm a good fundraiser. And that might be true. But I can always be better.
You can, yeah. There's always something more you can learn and develop yourself in that direction. And nonprofit organizations historically have had that kind of challenge where here's my primary target audience. Here are the people that I serve. This is my audience, but my donor audience that is critical to serve this one may be totally separate, may be totally different. And I have to talk to them in a different way. I have to go reach them. They're not in the same place. So I can't reach them with the same communications vehicles. It's a split that happens, you know, pretty frequently. That is certainly an area to pick up on and see if you can't dive in more on.
Yeah.
I mean, marketing. I know a guy. We can talk. Anyway, you're not just a nonprofit executive providing resources to Black-owned businesses. You're also a fan, writer, and creator of a number of comic titles through Dark Moon Comics. Talk about Dark Moon Comics and the role that comics and anime play in your life.
I'm a huge nerd, right?
We treat nerd as a tremendous word. This is a badge of honor. Please, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. It absolutely is. I grew up watching, you know, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, Inuyasha, all of those kind of classic anime classic. If I'm not doing the thing that I would prefer to do on most days is sit on my couch, be left alone, and watch anime.
It sounds like a good day.
I know.
It sounds like a solid day.
I know. And I also am somewhat of a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I often combine the things that I like with business and stuff. And so, you know, a buddy of mine, we were just talking one day about how cool it would be if we had our own anime. And then, you know, there are a bunch of online communities. And so there's a pretty large community of blurs, right? Black nerds. And one of the most prevalent things that is a topic of conversation is the lack of representation in comics and anime for Black people, right? And so it's a growing segment of the audience, and the representation is not growing in proportion to the audience growth. And so in looking into it, I'm like, man, I can probably write a comic. And so I actually spent a year learning how to write comics before I actually did it. Cause I was so terrified that I was going to write like, he threw the ball. Like, that nobody's going to want to read this.
Well, you have to, like, if you love the genre, right? If this is something that you have passion around, if this is something you love, you want to do it service, right? You want to make sure you're not just going in there and putting some trash out there. This is important.
Right. And so yeah, I developed the first one under Dark Moon Comics, called Black Spartans. And so I actually have, Black Spartans 1, 2, 3, and 4. That are out, and then just a bunch of other ones. Reign of Chaos was the second one, which is part of this nerddom is video games. And so, are you familiar with like Dark Souls or Elden Ring?
A little. It's not my total genre, but a little. Yeah.
So those are the games that I love.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
The super hard, frustrating. It takes you an hour or 10 to beat this one boss.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how cool would it be to have a comic book where, a story where a guy gets sucked into a video game world and happens to be one of those kind of games.
Oh man, I was hoping it would be something easy. No, good concept.
Right. The writing of the comics is fun. It's a fun experience to sit down and build a world and come up with a story and create the characters and create the power system and, figure out the interactions and write the scripts. It's a fun thing. And then I'm not an artist. And so I work with artists. And so I'll give them the script and then they'll give me the sketches and then they'll give me the line art. Then they'll give me the colors and then I'll add the words. And I'm like, this, if nobody buys this, it doesn't matter. I'm having fun myself.
Yeah.
If you
do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah. This definitely qualifies. And Blurred TV is YouTube. Like, you've got 4,000 followers on that channel for YouTube as well.
Yeah. And so that was the evolution kind of Dark Moon Comics. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
And so in diving into the indie comic space, I actually found that there are a ton of Black comic creators all around the country, right? One of the most famous is David Crownson. I don't know if you Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer.
Oh, yeah. Same vein as Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter kind of thing. Okay,
Yeah, so Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer, I think it just got picked up for an anime.
Okay.
And so my point being is that it's a pretty huge space. Whole bunch of people in there. And so I started talking to all of the indie comic creators, and they all have the same goal of like, let's get this IP picked up and turned into animation or turned into live action. And then the best way to sell comics is at comic book convention. And so in going to the comic book conventions, a lot of people would come by the tables of me and other, just other creators and say, that looks great. Let me know when that gets animated. And, the thing is, if you don't buy it, it won't ever
get you need to animated, support this right? So that I can do this. Yeah.
I took that and I said, okay, the producers of this genre, this medium in this space, all have the same goal. The consumers of it, there's a large consumer market that are interested in it but won't act upon it until it actually gets turned into visual media. And then the word blurred is in the Urban Dictionary. It's in Webster's Dictionary. And so it is a growing... it's a real growing community. And so when I looked and I thought, like, it makes sense from both sides for there to be like a Blurred TV type thing where the creators can put their content on it and then the consumers can all come into one space and watch it, right? So kind of like the Netflix of Black anime.
Yeah, yeah.
It would take a lot of money to build, to actually produce all of the anime, but it – it would be a pretty profitable and successful thing, especially because it's we're early in the market. Like the blurred community is growing. This is a demand that they're asking for, and there's no current market. Like the market exists without a market leader. And so I looked on YouTube and Facebook and online to see if there was anything called blurredtv.com. And I was like, I can't believe that this doesn't exist.
This
and,
is my idea now.
So I created it. I snatched it up.
Man.
And I literally December 26th of 2022 is when I created all the stuff. And then early January of 23, I was like, I'll run a couple of social ads and see what happens. And boom, 30 days, you know. 30,000 followers on Facebook.
That's right? Crazy.
And so, you know, one of the other things of the benefit of being in this EMBA program is actually giving me different ways of looking at the growth and scale of Blurred TV. The challenge is that it takes that will take a lot of time and energy in and of itself. And I kind of got this other thing over here.
But it's a fun and great passion project for sure. And something that, you know, I think is needed. It's a great outlet.
So I'm really excited about Blurred TV. It's something that's moving, you know, slower and on the side, as a really, you know, focus in on the growth and scale of GIFT. But still moving Blurred TV at the same time.
I'll make this the last lightning round question. Is that the nerdiest thing we're likely to find out about you? Like, or is there something else that's even nerdier that we don't know yet?
I'm an open book. So, the nerdiest thing that people would probably say is, so I this past year, I've learned Dungeons and Dragons extensively.
We're about to have a conversation. We are about to have a conversation.
And so I started playing Dungeons and Dragons. Then I learned how to DM. And then, you know, every quarter at GIFT, we do staff appreciation and we do team building. And so I threw out in the staff meeting, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you guys, you know, like, went through Dungeons and Dragons, did a Dungeons and Dragons game? I said, I'll lead it. And, you know, as you know, as the DM, I'm not really in the game. It's really their game.
Yep.
And so none of them had ever, like, they didn't know what Dungeons and Dragons were. So they asked me, so are we going to be outside? Do I have to
wear a costume? Is this LARP? No, this is not LARP. No. This is not live action role play. This is theater of the mind.
This
is not it.
Right. I was like, we're just going to sit at the table. They said, do I need to bring a sword? Like, no, you don't need to do any of that.
That's right. Please do not bring weapons. Do not bring weapons.
But it was great. Like they had to deal with the challenges and problems. And it was like, there's this big fire giant over here. And one of them was like, I'm going to go talk to him. And everybody's like, please don't do that.
Please don't,
like, don't go over
giant.
That by yourself and do this. So it was a good, like, you know, problem solving and team dynamic thing. And so it's, you know, it's nerdy, but I still figured out a way to incorporate it.
To work it in. Yes, absolutely.
And they now ask me when the next time we can play Dungeons & Dragons.
You're living the dream. You're living the dream. I can't even. I never talk about myself on the show really a whole lot because, you know, that gives away too much. We're not here to talk about me.
That's all right.
I got to tell you, I was a player back in the original first edition days of TSR in the 1980s, 79, 80, that kind of thing. Where Gary Gygax was still alive and writing a bunch of content and, you know, followed that along until, you know, I was through with, you know, college and everything and we'd play every once in a while. But, then you take some time off and you work and you have, you know, a family and you do all kinds of other stuff. And, pandemic happened. And I used to play with my brothers and cousins and some other friends of ours from high school. And I was always the DM. I was the, like, you know, lifelong, you know, game master kind of person. And my cousin calls me during the pandemic at the beginning of it and says, you know, we're all just sitting here. We could be on Zoom and we could get the band back together. And I went, if you can, and they're on fifth edition at this point, right? Yeah. We've gone from first edition to fifth. And I said, look, if you can get the band back together, I'll run that game. You bet. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And we have been playing every night for the last 5 years.
Every
weekend, every Saturday night.
That's amazing.
Every Saturday night for the last 5 years, we have this game going. And, Yeah, it's a tremendous creative outlet. On Zoom. It's a on Zoom and you know, use Roll20 and use D&D Beyond and everything else. I'll just shout out all the nerd stuff. Let me throw out Thaco as a concept.
I have a Roll20 account. I have a D&D Beyond account as well.
I'm telling you, this is. I sure didn't expect to talk about that.
People listen to this like, what are they talking about?
Like, who are these people? Who are the giant nerds over here? That's me. I can roll a D20 with the best of them. Spectacular, man.
Yeah. And I mean, the funny thing, you know, I mean, in high school, I was captain of the varsity. I was a linebacker in high school. I'm Army as well. I do a lot of like fight and like MMA boxing type training. And so there's a potential to look at me and kind of see this really, you know, hyper masculine,
right.
Like this bro culture, kind of dude in the you know, D&D and anime. And, you know, I mean, I have a D&D shirt.
Yep.
With the D20 on it. I don't hide it.
I've stopped hiding it. I think I've really stopped hiding it because now you look back and you've got all that street cred for the people who like are into it, and you go, hey man, I started out. I can show you my first edition Dungeon Master's Guide. Whatever. Yeah. Let's just. But we still feel that need. Yeah. I think that like you just did to go. But, you know, I was in the Army and, you know, I was pretty cool. I was captain of captain of the soccer team.
Yeah.
I'm not all nerd, but yeah, it's a great creative outlet, but also that you've been able to find a way to work that into business and get people to think differently because, you know, in business, think differently, right?
Yeah.
How do we go through this? And you're gaming things out. You're running a simulation.
Yeah. We did a session. With a group, and we wow, this is really nerdy. We came upon a cave of goblins.
Sure,
and
as you do,
we ended up. I ended up negotiating with the goblins, and we created a magical ore mining factory that provided us with an insane amount of money. And so instead of going in and like. Killing all of the goblins like you might normally do in a D&D session. We actually went in and began to negotiate, got some really good roles. Yep. And now, like, I you talk about the marrying the two, like, even when playing D&D, I created a whole business.
You did. Inside of D&D. You took your entire group of murder hobos and you said, you know, we're going to get into, you're just, you know, shout out to the new Bastion rules. That's what I'm saying. That's outstanding. You know, Brandon, I can't keep you in the lightning round anymore.
That's all right.
We will talk D&D nonstop. So let me do this. I'll close it out. Where can people find you if they need more information about what you do? If they're looking for a grant, if they're looking for business center support, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, come to the website. So kansascitygift.org. And so it's important to say that, you know, while our grants are specifically Black businesses on the east side of Kansas City that are looking to grow and scale and create jobs, our business center is open for any and everybody, period. Right. And so we have one-on-one business coaching, accounting, marketing, legal. We have website development. We have headshots, product photos. We have a bank inside of there. And then we have a bunch of classes. I even teach a nonprofit 101 class, right? All of that is 100% free. You can book as many appointments as you want, and it is open to anybody. So if you go onto our website right now, kansascitygift.org, click on Business Center Resources, you can book as many appointments. You don't have to sign up. You know, there's no login for you to create. We have no barriers.
Just get there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Brandon Calloway, CEO and co-founder of Generating Income for Tomorrow, Gift. Thanks for being with us on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We'll get it to your business.
And that is our show. Thanks so much to our guest, Brandon Calloway. And thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another small business miracle.
All right. Turn. talking about your strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.